In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to worship at Providence Presbyterian Church this morning. We're glad that you're here with us and pray that you will meet God with us in this hour as we worship together. Please take time this morning to sign the welcome pads that you'll find on the inside aisle and pass them down the pew so that you may greet one another by name following the worship service or share any information about how to be in touch with you if you so desire. Everyone is invited to a time of fellowship in the Hope Room immediately behind the sanctuary after worship this morning, where you will see posted around the walls. Do you want to say anything about it? Posted around the walls, the responses to our session and deacons' meeting that happened on Thursday night as we were reflecting back and reflecting forward on around the text to Jeremiah, Jeremiah's call. And you'll be seeing more of that in the newsletter for September, but to see some of the responses of your leaders about where we are in this life of transition that we're leading, you can see those posted in the Hope Room. Many thanks this morning to Jim Lockhart for preaching on our behalf this week, and we welcome him to the pulpit this morning. Jim has been a regular worshiper at this congregation since he retired from Barrington Presbyterian Church, and he and Sally have been wonderful assets in leadership in the time that they've been here. Please note, if you haven't already heard it, for those of you who had responded, that the pool party for this for today for the youth has been canceled. We look forward to sharing other opportunities in the weeks ahead and to getting in touch with you about things that we might do together. Our summer barbecues will resume again on Tuesday with thanks to Shirley Jones and Danielle and Gordon, who will be hosting this week. Then we have 2 weeks of barbecues for which we are seeking hosts. So if you can help either in grilling or in the setup preparation phases of it, please see the sign-up list in the Hope Room. We are also in need of a few volunteers for next Saturday's Camp Street Workday. Many of our regular volunteers, there's a regular core of about 4 or 5 who volunteer, are working or on vacation next week, so we do need a couple more volunteers. Even if you've never done it before, we can help you learn how, and I will be there if you have any questions. On Tuesday of this week, also on Tuesday, I've posted an invitation from the Rhode Island Council of Churches to be in prayer and solidarity for the folks in West Africa who are dealing with the Ebola virus, including our own Zach Sharp and many of the family members, extended family members of our congregation. There will be a prayer service that happens at 6 o'clock at the Westside Tabernacle, and the information on that is posted on the news bulletin board in the Hope Room. If you are interested, and also on our Facebook Community Connections page. Are there any other announcements this morning? Let us then prepare to worship God. Please join with me in the responsive call to worship. Praise be to God who reigns above the heavens. Praise be to God who dwells within our hearts. Let the majesty of creation worship in reverence. Let each man, woman, and child pray in faith. Come, let us worship and praise God. God invites us into the power of forgiveness, the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. In confidence, let us come to God in prayer, first in silence, then praying together. We pray, God, when we face difficulties, it is natural to fear. Called to be courageous, we find our faith lacking. When asked to take risks, we confess our complacency. By ignoring injustice, we hope that it will subside. You have shown us how you are a God to be trusted. Forgive our reluctance to believe in your presence and your guidance. Grant us the wisdom to seek refuge in Christ. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing together our song of confession, Out of the Depths, in the small hymnal number 2136, verse 2. The mercy of our Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Friends, believe this good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
This is the time in which we share our joys and concerns. I'm going to start with a joy. I thank people for their prayers. My granddaughter traveled safely alone back to Pakistan, so I'm very relieved to know she got safely home. Any other joys or concerns?
Prayers for Andrew as his groomsmaids and all his friends got together. They all flew to Canada, Montreal, of all places, to get together for the last time. So prayers for travel mercy as they all fly back home for the 2 weeks we're waiting for the wedding.
I'd like prayers for good friends, Ann and Chuck. Chuck is having hip replacement surgery tomorrow. It's down in Georgia.
Continuing prayers for our friend Louie, who has been struggling through several surgeries for a detached retina. And he's a youngish fellow and an electrician. So.
Just want to praise God for the arrival, a safe arrival of my second great-grandson last Saturday.
What's the name?
Mrs. Wyatt, who has joined us.
I'd like to give thanks for the peaceful death of my first husband on Wednesday evening. He's now free of the Alzheimer's that gobbled up his brilliant brain. Also, prayers for our three children, Jean, David, and Anne, and the two grand girls, Rachel and Carolyn.
I just wanted to ask for prayers for fellow dentist, we'll just call him Dr. C. I just heard recently that he's actually suffering from pancreatic cancer. So one of his friends is taking his patients for now. Thank you.
I have a joy and a concern. You've heard me talk before about my friend Flo, who is in heart failure. She's been in heart failure for quite some time. This past Monday, she got a heart transplant, and so she's doing very well. We're very grateful for that. I would like to ask for some prayers also for the donor family, because I know their loss is terrible, and I hope that it gives them some comfort to know that they've given new life to my friend Flo. And I'd also like to ask for prayers for my friend Wendy, who just got an abnormal mammogram result. And so now she's in the midst of undergoing tests to try to figure out what exactly the next steps are. And so just prayers for her as she goes through this difficult time.
I'd like to have prayers for a woman by the name of Marie. She is the mother of the man who mows my lawn, and I asked him how everything was going, and then he told me that she's in the Azores, and she had a stroke, and he wants to get down and get her and bring her home, and her name is Marie.
Okay. Continued prayers for Walter.
Continued prayers for Melinda Brailsford, who's going through a rough siege. Thank you.
Thank you. Continuous prayers for everyone involved with the affected by the Ebola virus, especially Zach, who's in the midst of it. I'm praying for everyone surrounding him, people who cook his food, you know, everything that he does, because he's over there with people who, you know, I don't really know. So prayers for him. Also, my sister, Ada, we have not been able to hear from her. She lives alone. Zach has been trying to contact her, and we have not heard from her. So we're praying to hear from her soon.
I have a lot of joy today that the prayers for Andrew's safe return home were miraculously answered. He was tied up to an NG tube an hour before he left by ambulance to the airport for 30 hours of travel and had only 1.5 hour delay in the midst of that. So we are rejoicing that he is home and with my kids today up with his family in New Hampshire. Another joy, too, in co-celebrating yesterday with Kathy Cooper, the wedding of Andrew Beck and Sarah Horkel, who have been worshiping with us for the last year or so here. We co-celebrated that in Connecticut on what was a glorious day and a wedding party of 18 people. So it was a huge wedding. 20% of the guests were in the wedding, I think. So let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come to breathe your power upon a hurting world. May justice and peace be brought in places of great, great need. where so often these days we see the limitations of human power and wisdom. We pray for Iraq and Gaza, for West Africa and those who are risking life to bring healing, for our connections near and far to our world. We lift to you in particular those who are known by name to us this day, for Zach and Ada, for safety in these perilous times. Make your people, all your people, humble and reaching out to serve others, to bring life and not destruction, to build up and not to tear down. Make us fervent desires of that reality and to encourage wherever and however we can in these days. We thank you for many prayers answered and the joys of our lives, for Andrew's safe arrival and this time of healing in New Hampshire with the kids, for the joyous wedding yesterday of Andrew and Sarah, who found a church home here for their year in Providence and grew in faith and love through the encouragement of this place. We pray for safe travels in this summertime for Andrew Benson and his friends in this pre-celebration for his wedding upcoming, for Jan's successful surgery and continued recovery, for Tatum's safe arrival to Pakistan, for Wyatt, to Dorothea's growing family, for Flo's heart transplant, and our prayers for the donor family that made that possible. We lift our prayers of healing for those who are in particular need, for those who face ongoing health issues slow to heal or nearing the end of life. We pray for Walter and for Melinda, for Anne and Chuck, for Louie, for Milton's dentist friend, for Wendy as she awaits results and next steps, for Marie. We pray for all those who are caught in the grips of addiction or mental health issues and struggle to find hope in dark days. We pray for those who grieve. Particularly, we lift to you this day CJ's family in the death of her first husband. We give thanks, O God, for so many things, for the leadership of this congregation, its officers reflecting and looking forward, for the discerning work of our PNC, searching for new permanent pastoral leadership, for all of the activities and hand and at work for the fall that is ahead of us. We have been blessed, O God, by your presence always in the midst of comings and goings. Remind us of that, and help us to live in faith to the tomorrow, which is always in your hand. In the power and love of Christ, we pray as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
It's time for the children to come forward. I thought I had a picture to show you, but I've lost it between home and here. Can you imagine? Do you ever lose anything? Yeah, do you? You know how that feels then. All right. Well, I was going to tell you today, have you watched anybody learn how to walk? Have you watched a little child learn how to walk? Yeah? What happens? How do they start learning to walk? Sometimes little kids, when they're learning to walk, hold on to somebody's hand. And sometimes they kind of stand there real wobbly for a minute, and somebody says, come on, come on. And then they'll take a step. You ever seen them do that?
Do you suppose you ever did things like that when you were learning to walk? Yeah. It's pretty sudden sometimes, isn't it? It's an exciting thing to learn how to see a little child learn how to walk. You all learned how to do it once upon a time, didn't you? And so did I, believe it or not. And so there was this thing about, lots of times it's trust. They have to trust the person that's going to catch them when they start going out walking on their own. Similarly, like when you're learning how to ride a bicycle, you have to trust your mom or your dad or whoever's helping you learn. Well, hold on to that seat until you really have it all by yourself, and then you can go off on your own. And once you realize you're off on your own, you kind of go, oh no, I'm on my own, and then you fall. So it's a thing about trust. We have to trust. And later we're going to read a story from the Bible about Jesus' disciples. One time they were out in a boat, and it was real windy. Well, you know what boats do in the wind. Their boat was, rocking back and forth and bouncing around in the water, and they were getting kind of scared, and they looked out from the boat, and there was Jesus walking on the water. And they said, oh, this is scary. That must be a ghost. It can't possibly be anything else. And Jesus said, don't fear, it is me, it's Jesus. And Peter, one of the disciples, said, well, if it's really you, Jesus, call out to me and I'll come walking on the water too. And so Jesus said, come, Peter. And so Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water. And he took a few steps, and then he realized that he was on the water and it was windy, and he got scared and he started sinking. Jesus caught him and got him back into the boat. But what happened? He quit trusting that Jesus was going to help him. And that's what happens. We're supposed to trust Jesus. But sometimes we get scared. Sometimes we're frightened of things. And the picture that I can't find, I'm sorry to say I can't find, is a picture about me being scared of birds. Are you scared of anything? Good for you. I'm scared of birds, or I used to be. Yeah, lots of people are. You too. Well, I used to be scared of birds. And a bird would come near me. You know, they're always flying around outside, right? And a bird would come flying by, and I'd go like this. I'm so scared of them. So what do you do to get scared over something? I had to trust that God wasn't going to let anything happen to me because some stupid little bird came flying by. So I had to look and say, oh, isn't that a pretty bird? And I'd sit there and I'd look at it and try to see what all the pretty things were about the birds. Or I'd listen to them sing. And one time I went to an aviary in a zoo with my granddaughter. Do you know what an aviary is? You walk into this, it's like a cage where they have all of the birds, and we can have a little cup of something that the birds would come and eat right out of our hand. Well, I had to go into that aviary with all of those birds, but I had to trust that I was going to be safe in there and that my granddaughter would be safe too. That's one of the things that helped me get over being scared of him. I'd listen to him chirping back and forth. Ben? Oh, yeah? Right. So sometimes we can learn to get over some of our fears when we can see the beauty and the wonder. Look at these things like birds, like hawks, that are just so full of majesty and beauty and all that kind of stuff. And remember that they're God's creatures. So we don't have any reason to be afraid. We have to remember that everything is part of God's creation and that God is always there to take care of us. And God's not going to ask us ever to do anything that'll hurt us or that we can't do. We'll always be able to do anything because Jesus will help us. God will help us. Okay? Let's pray. God, help us to remember we have nothing to fear because you are always with us. Help us to trust Jesus to be our friend and to be with us. When we're afraid, help us not to be afraid because we know Jesus is there. Amen.
Good morning. Shall we pray? O Lord, our God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us the grace to receive your truth in faith and love, that we may be obedient to your will and live always for your glory through Jesus our Savior. Amen. Our first reading is from the Old Testament lesson, Psalm 105, verses 1 to 6. It's on projected as well. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wonderful works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wonderful works he has done, his miracles, and the judgment he uttered. O offspring of his servant Abraham, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. The second reading is from New Testament, Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking towards them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed a strong wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why do you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Help. Help is probably the most honest prayer that there is. Help. The prayer help is the unvarnished plea to the Almighty. The prayer help is the focal point of today's New Testament passage. What does Matthew want us to learn? That we heard read, Jesus and Peter walking on the water. Please pray with me. Almighty God, help us to open our minds, to our hearts, to understand in the depths of our souls the power of your love and your merciful salvation. Amen. There's several versions of this story in our scriptures. John in chapter 6 and Matthew in chapter 14 all tell the same story, except that Matthew adds the component of Peter hopping out of the boat and walking on the water. All three versions report that Jesus came toward them, that they were terrified, and Jesus said, "Who I am." Hold that thought for a moment. I'd like to give a brief. For those of you who wish to understand at a deeper level, the Providence Presbyterian Church book discussion group will be gathering in September to discuss Henri Nouwen. Nouwen was an ordained Roman Catholic priest who taught at Yale Divinity School, Harvard Divinity School, and the American College at Rome, conviction that love is stronger than fear. And the movement of this book is from fear to love. So consider Henri Nouwen's book and to attend the book discussion group in September. The City Temple Baptist Church had been bombed twice by Luftwaffe. The airstrikes left the congregation no place to worship except a small hall. There, the pastor Leslie Weatherhead said, "We felt gloriously close to the first century church as London burning all around us." Weatherhead was referring to that tumultuous decade, 60 to 70 AD, a time marked by Nero's reign as Caesar, a strong and capable leader, until 59 AD he killed his mother, paranoid and cruel person, killing scapegoats for his pleasure or to deflect blame on someone else. It was under Nero that Paul was martyred, that Paul had spawned and helped through their disagreement. It left them feeling like they were orphaned. It was also under and burning on the night of July 18th, 64 AD. Usually dark in the city of Rome, all of a sudden it was ablaze, rising day, taking life, saying he wanted the land to build a new part of the city. He wanted a good shed, but is why he did that. But to himself, a group of people who could be misunderstood and mistrusted enough that it would be believable, and the answer was the Christians, who, after all, refused to declare that Christians were rounded up, accused of treason, tortured, killed, and the tradition is probably reliable that Peter was one of Nero's flaming torturer of the Jerusalem church community feeling, and it was during this who's rebelled against Rome, Caesar responded to the such war in Palestine, which had been taking place for 4 years, crashed the economy, killed, deported the destruction of Caesar demolished the temple, and the effect was to demonstrate the extent would use that leading role left the Christians feeling they had their hope at that point. It's hard to understand, but where do we turn the rope and the waves are threatening to knock us over and capsize us, and events pretend to drown us. These are the feelings church after Nero, his rampages, and this is why Matthew chose this story for his gospel. He was drawing on the incident which had been so captured that Peter was an impulsive human being, apt to speak before thinking, to leap before looking. It was in the right place. He genuinely wanted the priest, but his someone who was worthy, led of being loved, led him to try almost anything. And when he did that, that is what got him in. After a day, so at Galilee in their boat, and he went. He had faced the crowd, and he needed to focus anew on God's direction for him and God's support for him. Meanwhile, the boat sailing into the headway with these winds hitting over, the wind and the waves were there. The harder it was to keep going, the longer it took, the more tired they became doing tasks, and that they were losing energy. No wonder when they saw the apparition of. Here they're doing the best they can, sailing across the sea. But now they were on the verge of being capsized, of losing their life, and the sudden appearance of what they'd be afraid. How like God it is to go about life and to face the challenges and the opportunities and the strength of. And when we, in comes Jesus, instinct. Don't be afraid. Please, Jesus, prove. And was his disciple, and he said, if you really are Jesus, walk towards you. Me to come out of the boat and to walk towards you. It was impossible. He is actually walking on the water to greet Jesus. The wind, and noticed the waves, and looked down what was under his feet, or what wasn't under his feet, and began to sink. He's overreached. He's gone beyond his possibilities. Frightened. Jesus paved Peter. And did you ever doubt? And Peter was his own worst enemy, and much like us. He could do it. He was walking on water. We focus more on the risks and the dangers. And when that happens, we fall. However, is to withdraw in fear. Giving up before trying. Peter may have faltered, but once realizing that, he cried out to Jesus for help. How different from others who would rather be safe with and end up showing those who would rather, however, taste the risk. Puts out his hand at our limit. God only knows our limits, but Jesus is there with outstretched hand for that help. Situations that our energy, that there are some forces which we cannot withstand by ourselves. All we need is the courage to admit, ask for help, and ready to help. It's an issue of righteousness. And Jesus is there saying, be not afraid. Only take his hand. Now the promise is that challenges in life, that we will weather the storm. Peter did carry on later on. He was critical and this period of the 60s and earlier. This happened because the church knew no place else to. Plane ran out of strength and hope. His hand was at us. This is the lesson that Matthew, for each of us, the art of life, we are the call on God. The church, he's there for us when we are beyond our ability, our energy. Christ is there for Peter when he and into the time of death. Thank God, which casts out all fear.
Please rise and we trust in Jesus Christ, fully human, fully God. Jesus proclaimed the reign of God, preaching good news to the poor and release to the captives, teaching by word and deed, sake and binding up the brokenhearted, and calling people unjustly condemned for blasphemy and sedition. Jesus was crucified, suffering his life for the sins of Jesus from the dead, vindicating his sinless life, breaking the power of sin from death to life eternal.
This is the time in our service where we give ourselves and our gifts to the Lord. You to bestow upon us. Help us to be drawn to you. Good work. In the church's name we pray. Amen.
Rock we saw this day.